Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Well, hello, welcome to Anime Initiative, the anime focus segment of Comic Book Nation. I am your host, Megan Peters, with my lovely friends and co-workers, Nick Valdez and Evan Valentine.
Howdy, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody. So we're back with a, I would say, what might be our most packed episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Nothing put about it lightly. Anime, it's just the gift that keeps on giving. We have so much to talk about. Truly, when I was making the rundown for this week's episode, I was like, I honestly couldn't include everything. We wouldn't have time. We'd have to have a 2-hour special. So if you didn't know, basically on Anime Initiative, we talk about all things anime and manga. And this past week, we welcomed a flood of new information with Anime Japan 2024. This is an annual event that takes place in Japan, usually in the spring, you know, as we head into kind of warmer weather. And so that is kind of what I like to equate as like the springtime San Diego Comic-Con for anime, essentially, in Japan. And that's when all the publishers come together. They're like, you know what we should do? We should just dump a ton of information on everybody all at the same time. The three of us are left scrambling on comicbook.com for coverage. But you know what? We do it because we respect the game. So we're going to be talking about all the big things that we learned at Anime Japan 2024. And then after a little ad break, we are going to be talking about the upcoming spring 2024 season for anime. It is starting in just a matter of days at this point, and we have just so many new shows and returning shows stacked for this spring season. We know Nick Valdez here. He is kind of our expert on all of the anime previews for the different seasons. So we will be interrogating him, essentially.
Oh, no.
It'll be a light interrogation, you know. Like, okay. That, like, a simple one. Yeah, don't be too scared. I don't have flashcards. You know, we're fine. So, I mean, really, we just kind of got to get into this conversation because there's so much to go over. So Anime Japan, thankfully, is mostly done. We're not everything that's kind of happening now with Anime Japan is like behind the scenes stuff. All of the front facing trailers and announcements have gone live. So man, let's just kind of go through it, because for me personally, Black Butler is coming back.
Oh, that's your big
right
one,
at the
right?
top.
Yeah.
Oh, it's right at the top. Of course it is. As soon as Anime Japan was like on the docket, like coming up on the days like leading up to it, I was like, if they don't show me more Black Butler. I'm going to like go through withdrawals. Because essentially Black Butler is returning, which is an insane sentence for me to say because I thought they were done. I thought they just kind of gave up essentially on Black Butler. But the show is coming back. It is actually coming back as part of the Spring Core that is, you know, coming down in a few days. The new anime is tackling the next arc of the manga that has yet to be adapted for screen. We're getting the public school arc. So we're going to get some lovely stuff with Ciel, with Sebastian, a lot of posh boys and girls and basically like school uniforms, essentially. And then we're going to get our usual supernatural, you know, mystery thriller, all the good things that you love from that Black Butler. And now that I'm speaking about this, Nick, Evan, have you ever watched Black Butler? I don't know if I've ever asked y'all this.
I have not. So I need a refresher or an intro to this series.
Are you a newbie, Nick?
I remember watching that first season a long time ago. Mainly, yeah. It was one of those that was like, I'm getting into anime. Let me watch everything I can. And yeah. there were so many 12 episode seasons of things that I've seen that I just do not remember. And unfortunately, Black Butler is one of those. So what is this, but not like a perfect excuse to go back and check it out, right? Like just let's get right into it.
Yeah, I will. I stay pretty firm on this. I feel like the first season of Black Butler is still one of those like, you know, quote unquote kind of classic millennial anime series that came out and was like kind of a juggernaut in the convention scene and in the fandom that still holds up really well to this day. Cause there's some, you go back around the like early 2000s period and you watch it and you're like, oh, this is kind of,
yeah.
I'm gonna be honest. Yeah. I mean, some of them you do and you go back and you're like, I don't know why this got so popular. And then, you know, Black Butler is one of the few that really kind of stood out. And it also had a nice kind of, I feel like, kind of tailwind in the fact that Death Note was so popular. And every time I would watch Death Note, I'd always get a recommendation for Black Butler. So I was like, oh, okay, these have to be similar. They're not. But, you know, they do have kind of the dark mystery kind of aspect going on. But there are no... there are no Death Notes in this show, obviously.
Unfortunately, like, I don't know. That's the thing. Like, more anime could use a Death Note in it. But it is funny with Black Butler that now that you mention it, like, even if you haven't seen the show, you've likely seen Sebastian on, like, shirts and posters and art. I mean, Sebastian launched, like, a million pieces of fan art. A billion, probably. That's probably underserving it.
You know? Easily. Yeah. I mean, the amount of freaking love that was shown for Black Butler is insane. So obviously, as you could imagine, last summer it was announced at Anime Expo that Black Butler is coming back. Aniplex is overseeing it. It will be airing on Crunchyroll. And we got a nice good look at it. So I will digress on my Black Butler love because there are other things we need to talk about, namely the fact that we also got a trailer for Beastars, the final season. Mm-hmm. I say final season, there's going to be two parts of this. So we're kind of leaning into Attack on Titan territory. It's not going to just be a single final season. It's going to be final season part one and final season part two. Yeah, Beastars. It's we're getting the last hurrah. How are we feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good about it. I've enjoyed Beastars. Originally going into it, I was kind of curious because I knew nothing about it before I jumped in originally. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of curious, like, how this was going to work. Was it really going to be able to have, like, dark and adult themes while having anthropomorphic characters in it? But it actually works. It works really well. The mystery was pretty, I mean, regardless of whether or not you like the killer reveal that was in season three. Mm-hmm. I think that ultimately the mystery works, the characters are, you know, fully fleshed out. And look, perhaps most importantly, like the concept itself, the predator versus prey aspects of this world and everything, all of it just kind of clicks. Also, fun fact, created by Peru Itagaki, the daughter of Kisuke Itagaki, creator of Baki the Grappler. two very different anime.
Blows my mind.
Yeah, what a talented different family. Anime series.
What a talented family. Prestigious family.
A very, very prestigious family.
Like, Baki, we have, obviously, Beastars. Ooh, we got okay, so now here's the real question. When or if we get a Baki Beastars crossover?
That would be weird. I don't know. I have no idea how that would work.
Exactly. Well, Legoshi fights Baki. Like, that's the only thing I can think of.
that's the thing. Like, Evan, you've mentioned before to us personally, not on the show, but this is a perfect time to mention it, especially what we're going to talk about here in a bit. But Baki, like, fights, like, cavemen and, like, monsters. Yes. And, like,
It is very possible that we could see eventually Baki imagining Legoshi to fight him on a fictional plane. That's possible. I don't know. It could happen. Who knows? It's anime. I mean, it's fun.
Anything's possible. We love that. Well, we know Beastars is coming up. If you're looking to catch up on the series, you can find it on Netflix currently. The final seasons will also be streaming on Netflix, so that is where you need to go for all the goodness. Now that we've talked about Baki, I mean, we're going to have to skip down a little bit on our rundown, because I will just, as soon as this was announced at Anime Japan, the first thing I was like, Evan is losing his mind.
I'm losing it.
To walk me through what Baki Hanma versus Kengan Ashura is.
Okay. All right. So I'll give a very quick rundown as to, for our viewers who don't know what Baki and Kengan Ashura is. Baki, for me, is one of my top five anime of all time. I will not hold back on that fact. It is amazing.
That is a bold statement. I have
so much fun with it. It's amazing. It's effectively the story of Baki Hanma, a teenager who is attempting to become the strongest creature in the world in order to fight his father, the ogre Yujiro Hanma. Meanwhile, on the other side of Kengan Ashura, Kengan Ashura follows the story of Oma Taikata, I believe is his name. But it revolves around the idea of corporations settling their business takeovers via brawlers and via tournaments.
I hear that, I laugh.
Oh my god! Like, I was rewatching, so I'm rewatching the series to specifically get ready for this. One of the first things that happens in Kengan Ashura is that a 55-year-old salaryman witnesses the fight of the main character and immediately has to prove his manhood by visiting the red light district of his city. It's completely ridiculous.
Wow.
It's absolute insanity. One of the things that I really love about this is the fact that the previous season of Baki Hanma ended on a note where I really thought that the anime was done. Baki fought his father Yujiro, which was like the main thing he was trying to do, and he ended up winning that fight, becoming the new strongest creature in the world. And Baki and Kengan Ashura had crossovers mostly via posters and things like that. This is something that hasn't been in the manga or anything like that before. Completely original story. This will be using the animated style of Baki rather than more of the CG style of Kengan Ashura, which I am super on board for.
That was the best choice they could make.
So good. Such a good choice.
Nothing against Kengan Ashura, but the Baki animation aesthetic is just so much more. It's just superior.
It's that 2D style. I believe it's done by TMS Entertainment. And it works so well. So when this trailer arrived and they immediately showed that the star of Kengan Ashura was depicted in Baki style, I'm all for it. If they want to do something where they kind of split it down the middle, hey, it's their call. But I'm super excited for this. I'm pumped for this. I think it's going to be anime of the year. Maybe. Who knows?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The very least fight of the year. I mean, the amount that, like, this is like the ultimate, like, what I mean, let me. So, of the three of us here, I know actually zero, nothing about wrestling, WWE, nothing. Okay. But I feel like Baki Hanma versus Kengan Ashura is like one of those title matches that you hear about in like wrestling, UFC.
Oh, like it's like definitely that. WrestleMania. Like, definitely.
Yeah, it's WrestleMania. Yeah, WrestleMania. This is the WrestleMania of like martial arts or like boxing, like fighting, just all out action anime. So when Netflix announced this, I feel like the world kind of stopped for a second. Like,
Evan's my shift was over. I saw it at like 11:30 at night, and I instantly pinged you both, being like, "What? Like, is this real? Is this happening?"
I know, like, you weren't punked.
It's so funny that like the poster for this too. You know, it's Kengan. You know, it's the Kengan Ashura character. And then, you know, he's looking at like Baki, but all you see are like Baki's monstrous like calf muscles.
He does not see leg day.
Yeah, and that sort of just puts you in the mindset of like what this is going to be. And I can't wait. Like, I'm curious because, you know, Netflix calls it a film, but then the YouTube thing calls it a series. So I don't know what we're actually looking at here. I don't know how long it's going to be. But all I know is when they actually come to blows, that's going to be huge. I can't wait.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like when people are always like, oh, Goku versus Vegeta, Goku versus Gohan. Like, no, Baki versus Kengan. that's what the people care about. Well,
by the way, really quick injection. This originally started as kind of like a series of posters that Netflix was releasing that like saw the two of them kind of facing off. And I don't know if folks knew this, but there was another Baki crossover that Netflix had promoted originally. when the anime was coming around, and that was Baki Hanma versus the Predator. So,
so I mean, that wins, right?
Maybe it'll happen. Who knows?
Can you imagine? This is just like the start of Baki versus blank. Yeah. Baki fights the world.
You know what though? If that's how the anime continues, I don't think any of us would have a problem. Especially
I'd be sick.
Like, I don't.
Oh, no. Yeah, I want to like get other licenses, like Baki versus One Punch Man.
Oh yeah, that was so good. Like,
I
so
want good. Him, if they're gonna fight go everybody. This direction, I want him to commit. You know. I want him to be like into it. So yes, we have Baki Hanma versus Kengan Ashura. It is coming to Netflix. TBD on if it's kind of a mini series or movie. We'll kind of find out more details. But yeah, it's basically the WrestleMania of anime, and yeah, and that comes from people who actually know what wrestling is all about. I, however, am not that person. What I do know and what I can talk about is My Hero Academia, because I'm obsessed. Mm-hmm. I know when shows get big clout, sometimes people get, you know, it's cool to hate on it. I'm still My Hero Academia stan number one. And at Anime Japan, we got another like full trailer for season 7. And it here's the thing I'll say. The trailer's sweet. The problem is leading up to this trailer, My Hero Academia on Twitter, or X, or whatever you want to call it, released like 5 different like TV spots, and all of the TV spots were just this footage from the trailer. So I kept watching the trailer, like waiting for like some really good new footage, and nothing ever really showed up because they already showed so much of it in the TV spots. However, I will say putting all of the footage together looks really good. My Hero Academia season 7. One, it's wild that we're at season 7. That's insane to me at this point.
Yeah.
But two, it's about to, I mean, it is, it's essentially just going to be like, it's almost a tournament kind of arcs. It's like a war tournament saga. We're focusing specifically on various battles that are kind of part of this final war, quote unquote, for I guess Japan and really the world. Deku versus Shigaraki.
Yeah.
We have All for One. Mm-hmm. You know, all the heroes that are left standing in Japan are going to be fighting against, you know, the massive onslaught of villains. And the thing that's interesting about this, you know, we're starting this final war arc for the My Hero Academia anime. I mean, the manga is still in this arc. I mean, it's deep.
Yeah.
I mean, we're a long way into it. No one ever expected this arc to last this long in My Hero Academia. But like, we're still in the middle of this big saga. So My Hero Academia season 7 is going to start that. I'm curious to see where it's going to end off. The episode order is supposed to be for 2 cores. So it'll start again in spring. And it'll, you know, cap off by the end of summer. But yeah, we're starting. It's the beginning of the end, as far as we
yes.
know, for the My Hero Academia. Nick, you sound excited.
Yeah, I am excited, but also as comicbook.com's resident My Hero Academia hater, I will say that, you know.
Amazing. You know,
like, diametrically opposed.
I love the show, but also I'm the one, the first one who among us three who's like, oh, well, I wish they didn't do that. Oh, I wish they didn't do that. And so my right. issue with this is, you know, you look at the manga and the manga is incredible. Kohei Horikoshi is like basically going off on each chapter. That's why some of them are like 12 pages, because you look at the detail and some of them you're like, wow, like, yeah, no wonder. But looking at the anime, you're like, yeah, this is great. It's the blue sky problem. So I've seen this debate on X. Mm. I've seen this debate on social media, and it's worth mentioning. Like, it's the blue sky. It's the, you know, the fact that all this is happening in broad daylight, which is like, yeah, I guess that's the way it was in the manga, but you don't get that because the manga has that dread, that intensity of each thing. And, you know, it kind of goes the Bleach route where you don't kind of see the sky all the time. But then when you do see it, it's shaded in, it's dark, it's rainy, it's like, it's the atmosphere. And so that's my only thing, is that I hope that kind of happens with this show. Like, I hope the anime adjusts, like, we don't get blue skies all the time. I'm hoping maybe it starts that way, and then it kind of adjusts as things get more intense. Because like if we get a full bright sky like we did with season six, then I was, you know, the Deku and Shigaraki fight didn't land with me as hard as it did in the manga because of that. And that's the other thing. It's nitpick, but also not, because that's such a huge thing. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. My thing is tone. I'm just hoping that intense tone is in the anime. The action's going to be there, of course, but I want that tone.
Where do you land, Evan?
I'm excited for it. I'm exceptionally curious as to how this season isn't the last one. Like, you feel me? Like, how? Like, no, yeah. I mean, simply from a perspective of the manga itself, in terms of how, I mean, the final fight obviously starts in this. It's going to start with like the star and stripe. Without diving too deep into the spoiler territory, there is some stuff that pops off before we get into the final war. But it also seems like, I don't know how they're going to have enough material for a season 8 here, or if they're going to decide to go with a movie. My theory, and I came up with this theory like in the past couple of weeks when I was thinking about this new season that's coming up, is that there is the potential for them to take material from the My Hero Academia Vigilantes series that mostly was like the flashback stuff with Eraserhead and Obito and Present Mike and everything, and kind of slap that in as the second core and then kind of go from there, because otherwise I have no idea how they're going to parse out season 8. Just in terms of just the material that they have to work with. And like Megan had said, like, where does season 7 end? What's right. The best place to kind of bring this seventh season to an end?
I think, you know, just speaking on in terms of that theory, I think season 8 will just be a single fight, which is the one we all probably know what I'm referencing here. I don't want to mention it for the people jumping into the anime, but there is just like a single fight that seems to have so much of this content within itself that it could probably last an entire season, and they could like find, and it's what we're seeing with like Demon Slayer. Like, My Hero Academia, yes, it's coming in spring, but it's not starting till May officially. We're getting four of recap episodes with like new material of like, yeah, they're getting ready for the war, so we're probably going to see a lot of that while going, oh man, it's crazy how we got to this point. And so I feel like because of that, it's going to cut off at a very distinct point before we get to the real, real final battle. And that'll be season 8, which will be, once again, a likely truncated episode order, like an 8 to 10 episode kind of thing with more recap episodes. That's what I'm thinking.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they've already announced that we're getting 4 recap episodes for this season that are going to be leading up to the premiere of My Hero Academia. Again, we don't have it confirmed whether those 4 episodes are tied into the 25 episode order or if they are separate. So at this point, we're not sure. Either way, I mean, there are still a couple little mini arcs we have to go through in My Hero Academia season 7 before we get to the war, involving, you know, Stars and Stripe and another one of the classmates of, you know, Izuku. One of Izuku's classmates has a little arc in there. If I had to give my best guess, I would probably assume, again, without, you know, spoiling anything, My Hero Academia season 7, I imagine it ending after Bakugo has his kind of big moment in the arc. I think we get past that and the reaction to it, and then that's where we kind of set the stage for, you know, what we have coming in season 8. Of course, at this point, the manga is still going forward, so we'll see how it goes.
I mean, either way, we're getting a big cliffhanger, so I hope everybody's ready.
Ready for a My Hero Academia cliffhanger. It's going to happen. The war, it's not going to be finished in this. We're not going to get a definitive answer because we don't even have that in the manga yet. My Hero Academia Season 7, it's still moving forward. Studio Bones is still overseeing the content. You know, they have basically their own little team within that studio that's dedicated to all things My Hero Academia. So that's where we're moving forward. And if you really just can't stand the wait, I mean, it is coming out this spring. It's going to take a little bit longer to come out in the spring season because we have those recaps going. But you can always find the manga. And that's where you can, you know, experience the highs and the lows. And yeah, kind of just to wrap things up, you'll understand, everybody listening, why Anime Japan became such a beast to tackle. We got brand new updates, posters, trailers for everything from the regular at Magic High School Season 3 to the Misfit of Demon King Academy Season 2, Part 2, I believe. We got our first look poster at Oshinoko Season 2, which I was super ready for, but it's just like it's a poster, and I'll take it because it means that work is happening. But it wasn't a clip, unfortunately. We also got updates personally for me for ReZero Season 3, which, you know, I'm always for. Mushoku Tensei Season 2, Part 2. And then what I'm sure Evan would mm-hmm. be was excited to see, a Gundam Requiem for Vengeance, which is a really impressive anime series that Netflix is kind of heading up with Sunrise as well. It's a 3D CG produced title for Gundam. I believe it's the mm-hmm. second that Gundam's ever done like this. But obviously this new title, the animation is leagues in a way better because they're doing it on Unreal Engine 5. So we have this mini series coming forward on Netflix, which just looks so sick to me.
Yeah, especially because I think that there's always going to be the controversial, you know, CG. I mean, we talked about it with Kengan Ashura and mm-hmm. Baki earlier. There's always going to be kind of this back and forth about, like, you know, CG versus traditional 2D. And I think, like, for the three of us, well, I can't speak for everybody else, but I think that, like, we kind of lean more towards the 2D traditional mm-hmm. animation style. But, like, there's a time and a place for kind of CG animated style. And I think, like, Gundam specifically, like, the mechs lend themselves to that. So, like, as long as I think, like, as long as it doesn't completely, because, like, obviously Gundam Seed Freedom, for those who don't know, is like the biggest Gundam movie of all time that released in Japan. It's coming out in the US this summer. And that was 2D traditional art, but, like, let them, I'm fine. Gundam is a franchise that can stretch its legs and do really experimental stuff, not just with its story, but with its animation, presenting it in a number of different ways. For those who don't know, Gundam Requiem for Vengeance does take place in the original universe. Mm-hmm. The trailer did mention the Principality of Zeon fighting the Earth Federation. So you'll be able to, like, it's an ancillary side story. If you really are turned off by the animation, like, you can, it's there for you to check out if you want, but, you know, there's always going to be more Gundam stuff that's coming down the pike. So I'm excited to see what it kind of looks like and everything when it hits later this year.
Yeah, there are a few things. I mean, but, you know, before the show started, I was talking about how, you know, when I was first introduced to Gundam, I was introduced with Gundam Wing. And then I kind of went back and, like, you know, caught up with the series and the timeline backwards, and then I jumped forwards again as new content kept coming out. So I'm interested in seeing how Gundam Requiem for Vengeance works, because it does take place in the latter stages of the 1 year war, and it takes place on, like, the European front line. So we do get, like, a different storytelling aspect of, like, that part of history, which is a huge piece of history for the Gundam franchise. But also, just selfishly, I love big mechs when they fight and go boom and, you know, attack one another.
It's a good selling point.
I know. Well, like, big, it's the same thing with, like, Godzilla. I like when monsters fight each other. I like it when big robots fight each other. I mean, you know, you look at things like, oh man, I can't remember that. Pacific Rim. There we go. You mean you look at things like Pacific Rim, which have these Gundam. I mean, they're loosely inspired and based on Gundam. You look at things, you know, like in Ready Player One or whatever that movie was, where it had the Gundam cameo. You know, they're working on a live action Gundam project right now in Hollywood, and seeing this kind of animation and this kind of, you know, embrace of Gundam by Netflix on, like, a global scale, it's encouraging for me as a fan that's looking forward to these future projects. And I think the animation in the trailer for Requiem for Vengeance looks great. So I'm curious to see how it holds up through a whole mini series, you know?
Yeah, so for sure. And there's there's always a place for it. The real, and I mentioned this a lot when I talk about Gundam on the site. There's a real place for one of the strengths of Gundam and why it's been able to see such longevity is the fact that it can get serious with something like Requiem for Vengeance, but it can also get really fun. Like I think the three of us are probably big fans of G Gundam with with how ridiculous it is and everything. So yeah, again, I super embrace Netflix going all in with Gundam, and just once again shows how just Netflix is going all in with anime in general. So I'm here for it.
Yeah, I mean, between Mobile Suit Gundam Seed Freedom and one of my favorite shows and in the last 10 years, Mobile Suit Gundam, you know, Wish from Mercury.
Yeah.
Gundam's eating good. I'm very happy.
Good. Yeah.
It really warms my heart, you know. So there's a ton of things that Anime Japan went through. I mean, we just went through a small sampling. These are kind of the biggest headlines that came from the event. Of course, if you want full comprehensive coverage, myself, Evan, and Nick covered the absolute everything out of that convention. You can see all the posters, all the trailers at comicbook.com's anime channel, where we have so many good things and more. But now we do have to take an ad break because there's a lot of spring 2024 anime to go through. And I mean, a lot. So we got to pay for the show. We'll take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll tell you what you should be watching this spring. Welcome back to Anime Initiative, the anime focus segment of Comic Book Nation. We are back. We just broke down all the big things from Anime Japan 2024 to pay attention to. And now it is time for us to go over our long-awaited spring 2024 preview. As we all know, April marks the beginning of the spring core for the anime industry. So there are a ton of new and returning shows coming to the lineup this year that fans will be able to watch, you know, through streaming. And honestly, y'all just need to like clear your calendars. There are so many shows to watch. Traditionally, the spring and the fall seasons have the biggest lineup of shows that go live each year. And man, spring 2024 is no different. So, Nick, walk me through. What do I need to be paying attention to?
Okay, good thing we've already covered My Hero Academia returning for season 7. We've covered Black Butler also returning for season 4, which is wild. So I guess we'll start with the returning stuff before getting into all the brand new stuff. So not only are those juggernauts coming back, but then you also have Demon Slayer returning for season 4 for the Hashira training arc. You also have That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime returning for season 3. You have my personal favorite, Konosuba, returning for season 3. You have Mushoku Tensei Jobless Reincarnation returning for its second half of season 2. You have the regular at Magic High School returning for season 3, which is, see, I'm listing all these returning things and it's so many things. It's hard to keep up with. Sorry, Richard. Sorry for all this stuff.
Here's what I got to ask. I'm about to show myself out right here, because if you go on comicbook.com, you're going to know that when people write about Konosuba, it's always Nick. I've never seen Konosuba.
Oh, even Nick got me on the Konosuba train.
Nick, you haven't hit me yet.
I dig it. It's really like, it's one of the funniest anime that I've seen.
Okay, Nick, I need your elevator pitch.
Okay, so Konosuba is basically, you know, we've talked about isekai anime on this show. We've made we had a whole episode dedicated to it, but I couldn't really flesh out what Konosuba was, because it is one of those second tier isekai where it takes all the ideas and kind of throws them out the window. So it's like, what if it was a parody, but also kind of serious? So it's basically, Konosuba is a guy gets thrown into another world, but he takes advantage of it by, you know, just being a jerk the entire way through. Like, he's very selfish, but also that's kind of his endearing self. He does what he wants when he wants. And his group around him are also kind of failures in their own way. So, but they become a party that ends up failing into success because of how bad they are at their own personal jobs. But as you see them improve in their own ways, that's kind of the draw of the show, is you just, it's seeing them interact with one another through their wacky adventures. And it's got a little of everything. It's also got like some fantastic animation, and it's not just, oh, fight scenes are cool. It's literally everything. It's, there are character moments where they're just talking, and the way they're animated is so wacky and so fun. It's incredible. It's one of my top five. Like, it's right up there. It's just, I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. There are some bits that are hard to, you know, are hard to defend in terms of like cultural jokes, where it's like, oh, that's not a joke I like, but those are few and far between. Of, you know, that was just the movie where I really had a problem with the way one of the jokes went down, but the rest of it I'm totally fine with. It's just like, yeah, if you're watching isekai anime, there are things in there that you just kind of see and expect, and it's great.
Interesting. Well,
I think that one of the best characters that I love from that show is Megumi, a explosion wizard who has the ability to create some of the biggest spells in her world approximately one time per day, and then she's like completely out of it for the rest. It works. Everything kind of clicks so well in general.
Yeah, she's
so many TikTok clip reels of like Konosuba being funny. I've always seen that, and I'm like, oh, that looks pretty good. Like, I was a really big fan of Gintama, like, you know, watching that. And Konosuba, I know it's obviously isekai and kind of the different fantasy setting, but it always kind of gave me those vibes with just like how unserious it seemed. But I didn't know, Nick, that you were so, like, I did not know that you were Konosuba stan.
Yeah, Konosuba is one of my big ones. Like, Aqua is legit. Like, so she's what the main heroine, sort of adjacent. She's the goddess of the world that brought Kazuma into, you know, she brought him into, but the whole thing was like, she didn't really care about her job. She was just like, oh, you can pick whatever you want from this list and you'll have that power in the other world. So he's like, oh, well, I pick you. And so it took her by surprise. And, you know, they end up in the other world. And so, but they're both broke. And that's kind of the whole thing. And she, like, the joke is that she's useless outside of like her godly powers of, you know, she can purify things and she can really purify water and stuff like that. But that's just all she's good at. And so that's where the comedy comes from. It's just a lot of useless people, but are good at some things. And but she's my favorite anime girl of all time. Like, it's legit. Like, that's how big Konosuba is to me. Like, it's huge. And the fact that it's coming back for it's 10 episodes or it's 11 episodes. 10 were the first two seasons, and I'm just excited to get more. I can't wait. And that's probably my biggest return, but there are other huge returns coming back. Like, one we didn't even talk about was Spice and Wolf. That show,
oh my gosh,
yeah, like Spice and Wolf Merchant Meets the Wise Wolf is the official full title of this thing. It's a full reboot / remake of that classic original series in celebration of its 15th anniversary. And okay, so the biggest thing about this is that people might not know, yes, it's the studio behind it. It's a studio that also has tackled High School D&D and the Higurashi When They Cry remakes. So this could go
we can't say definitively, but if there's a fan service in this show, I will not be surprised. Let's put it that way. I will not be surprised at all. Which I guess could kind of fit with the ethos of the series, maybe. I don't know. I'm interested.
Yeah, but you know, it's brand new stuff after all this time. So that's the thing. It's not like Black Butler where it's just a straight continuation. It's like it started from the beginning, but there are, you know, it's bringing back the original Japanese voice cast, at least the three they've confirmed so far. So, and it is going to be one of those also going to be sticking around for two consecutive cores, which means like My Hero Academia, it'll be here through the spring and summer months. So I'm excited to see where that's going. But so let's get into the new stuff, right? Like, yeah
returning stuff. I know there's one show that has to be on the top of your watch list this season.
Oh, yeah.
I can guess.
Yeah, so,
I think we can all guess.
Yeah, let's get into it. Kaiju number 8 is what I was thinking of. I hope you all were on the same wavelength. So Kaiju number 8 is one of the, like, wildest manga series that took off in, like, the Shueisha's Jump Plus app. That's how big it was. It was like Spy Family. It was in an app overseas that, like, was already taking off on its own. Then it got its official English language release a couple years later. And then now it's, like, blowing up to the point where this is a full worldwide launch. Like, this is... Mm-hmm. The same time that, like, Crunchyroll literally just announced before we came on the air today that they will be streaming the episodes the same time they air in Japan. And not only is Crunchyroll offering
to me,
it's crazy. It's what? Not only that, but it's taking that first thing even further, that it's also going to be streaming worldwide on X, formerly known as Twitter. Like, it's a social media drop at the same time it hits Japan. And this is, that kind of shows you how big of a franchise this is and how big they hope it's going to be when it finally hits. So Kaiju number 8, the elevator pitch is that you have a 30-year-old something guy who, you know, he kind of failed at his dream of fighting the kaiju that attacked Japan. He made a promise with his childhood friend. Years later, he sees she's become like the top soldier in Japan fighting the kaiju, made a name for herself. And he's just in, like, kaiju cleanup crews after the battles. But then he's possessed by a kaiju of himself, becomes the Tiddler Kaiju number 8, and that's just where it all breaks loose. Like, that's literally just the start of, like, okay, kaiju fights, then we get the soldiers fighting, and then there are more kaiju, and then, you know, manga spoilers I won't get into that take the fight to a next level, and this one's going to be huge.
Oh, easily. Easily one of... I mean... I'm struggling. Like, I mean, this, you know, the January as the winter 2024 season kicked off, we had Solo Leveling, which, you know, we're about to get the finale for. And I feel like Kaiju number 8 is just going to pick up the ball from there and run with it through its season. I mean, the animation looks sick. I know some people have maybe an issue with kind of the simplicity of kind of the color palette. I love it. I'm a huge, huge fan of it. I mentioned earlier, you know, talking about, like, you know, I like monsters that fight, that go boom. Same with robots. obviously, this is right up my alley with Kaiju number 8. And, you know, I like all of us here on this podcast, I'm a huge, huge, huge Kaiju fan, Godzilla fan, you know, Toho, MonsterVerse, whatever it is you want to point at. I think Kaiju number 8 is such a love letter both to that kind of genre, obviously, but also it really cherry picks some of the best shonen tropes, I'll say, that I see from Shueisha's, you know, massive library of shonen hits. I'm just super excited to see how this goes. And the fact that it's bringing in so much global attention. I mean, the fact that it is airing the same time on Crunchyroll as it is in Japan is insane.
Yeah,
that's crazy to me.
That's huge. You know, for those buddies at home who, you know, don't necessarily cover the entire anime scope that we do, which is basically everybody, right? Like, so, you know, they, when we get episodes here, you know, it's translated, you know, you get your subtitles, sometimes you get your dubs, but it's a few hours after, you know, it's same day, but it's a few hours after to give people time to actually, you know, figure out what was done in an episode kind of deal. Yeah. So the fact that this is all happening at the same time is kind of a logistics miracle, right?
Oh, right. Yeah. And what's the studio behind this? Is it Production IG?
Production. Yeah, Projection IG, yeah. And they had they already made waves this year with Haikyuu, Decisive Battle at the Garbage Dump, which came out in Japan and has already made a lot of money. I think anime movies in general are just pulling in.
Yeah, Haikyuu. Fun fact: I read about this yesterday. Haikyuu finally knocked out Pokemon the Movie Mewtwo Strikes Back off the top 100 movies in the Japanese box office. So
that's wild.
Yeah, I know, right? That movie's been on that list since 1998, and then Haikyuu came in and went, whoop, it just smacked it off so fast. But yeah, I mean, Production IG, I definitely want to give kudos and props to, in a time with anime that is, you know, everybody's rushing on anime to really kind of get in on this train now that it is so big. And as we've talked about with other studios, production schedules could be a nightmare for the people who are actually animating and creating the product. The fact that Production IG is able to do this launch simultaneous with Crunchyroll, subbed and everything like that, it's because they're getting their stuff in early enough to make that happen, which is, you know, indicative of a pretty solid production schedule. So I am very pleased to see that because, you know, I have big, big hopes for Kaiju number 8.
Yeah, it's even got like an ending theme from One Republic, you know, the group behind like Apologize.
Oh my gosh, there's gonna be I want an Apologize AMV for Kaiju. First episode.
Also, the opening was made by one of the founders of Imagine Dragons, which is really like, again, it's really wild to see how
I know.
Anime is becoming this giant thing in North America as well. Like, and more places are more talent is starting to become more integrated with the medium. It's great to see. It's super cool.
Now, I have to admit, Nick, the show that I thought you were going to say was not
Kaiju. I thought this too.
You did not think it was Kaiju number 8.
Wait, yeah. So I'm curious. What are we setting up here?
Go Loser Ranger.
Yeah, Go Loser Ranger. Oh,
yes. Oh my god.
You are literally like the Sentai Power Rangers version.
that kind of goes to show where my head's at. There are so many things that we need to keep an eye on that, like, the fact that I missed out on the Power Rangers one being the first one is wild. So Go Loser Ranger is not about the Rangers themselves. It's about like the villains, the putties, if you will. And it's got like a huge roster. It's got a huge cast. And I'm very curious as to how this anime will work, because we've seen anime take on Super Sentai before. You know, we've seen, and they were all great. You know, you have stuff like Samurai Flamenco, which is something I recommend I kind of spoiled the fact that there are Power Rangers in it, but Samurai Flamenco starts off as like a small hero show that suddenly goes off the deep end, and it's fantastic. It's a great one season kind of thing. Then there are Love in World Domination. I butchered that title. I forget what it is, but it's the main villain getting into a romance with the Red Ranger of a Power Rangers group, and they start, you know, hiding their secret romance while trying to fight each other, and it becomes the whole thing. We've seen takes like this before, so I am curious to see how Go Loser Ranger will turn out, but I am excited. That's the thing. It's just, unfortunately, it got buried. I will say that.
There's a lot of news.
I will say the three of us are about to be very busy at comicbook.com. And I know in the comments we were asked if we will have kind of a spring 2024 anime preview written out. Yes, we do. Nick Valdez works on those every year to kind of put out what are the things to be watching. So you will be able to have that list, save that list, bookmark it, rely on it, you know, treasure it, sleep next to it. I don't care what you do with it. That's a little weird. When you were like, yeah, there's an anime I'm super excited about, me and Evan on the same brain cell just went, oh yeah, no,
go Loser Ranger.
And then you said Kaiju number 8, and I was like, oh well, I mean, that makes sense, but also not what I expected.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. It's not even like another big show that I'm looking forward to. I know I'm burying it once more, but like there is also another Shonen Jump show getting its anime debut this spring that I am very excited for, because it was one of those manga that you read, like I read from the first chapter going, oh, this is great. And then it kept going. I was like, oh, this is really good and really fun. Mission Yozakura Family. So, yes. you take mm-hmm. yeah, you take Spy Family, and it's not exactly the same vibe, but it is a spy family. It's a family full of spies. So the elevator pitch here is that a kid named Tayo loses his parents when he's young. His only friend in the world is named Mutsumi, and he goes to have like a respect and love for her over the years. It's more of just like childhood friends being close to one another. But when she's threatened, it turns out that she's like the head of a spy family and like a very prestigious spy family. And when she's threatened, he needs to jump in and protect her and thus become a part of their family by marrying her and then like learn how to be a spy. And it all sorts kind of pops off from there. This is one of those shows that I'm hoping really boosts the popularity of the manga, because while there are fans like me out there, like, getting to celebrate how good this manga is, mm-hmm. I really hope the anime is what takes it to that next level and like really blows it up. It's not a Kaiju Number 8 situation where it's big and then gonna get bigger. I'm hoping mm-hmm. this one is just gets that recognition, because like in the manga now, it's in the midst of getting ready for like its final set of battles, I think. And I really hope the anime like Demon Slayer, there was another recent example that I hope that people are drawn to it right as the manga is getting to like the really good stuff. So it's just, that's what I'm saying. Like that, yeah, Gogo Loser Ranger was up there for me, but also I have these other things that I want to see.
You cannot be denied by a single show, Nick. You are a complex human being. I will say, I knew of it just because of, our work here at Comic Book, Mission Yozakura Family. As soon as this trailer went live, I started binging the manga because it looked so good. The manga slaps. If the trailer was able to hook me, I really am excited to see what the show can do. Because, you look at, manga series like Free Air and Beyond Journey's End, we've talked mm-hmm. about. It's anime just ended. And in that 6 months period that show was on air, the manga sales doubled from 10 million to 20 million, which is insane because it took 3 years to make 10 million copies. So I hope Mission Yozakura Family can do it.
I hope so too. I'm really hoping. And if not, then it's okay because it will be there for me.
It's not going away.
You can selfishly want that. That's fine. Yeah. And to kind of just wrap up our conversation, we have other titles that are coming live for the spring 2024 season. These are specifically movies or kind of specials that are on the way. Blue Lock episode. Is it Nagai or Nagi?
Nagi. Yeah, Nagi. Episode Nagi. Yes.
Yeah, Blue Lock episode Nagi is coming out. We have a new Code Geass movie title that's coming out in Japan. That doesn't even mention things like Look Back, which is the movie that's coming up that is adapting the one shot created by Tatsuki Fujimoto, who is the creator of Chainsaw Man. And we also, very selfishly, I'm excited for Bocchi the Rock. We're going to get that movie coming forward, which is like, yes. And, and speaking of earlier, Gintama is coming to theaters with kind of like a movie compilation situation. So for a lot of these titles, unfortunately, we do not have release dates for them in America. I'm sad about that, but they will eventually be coming to America, but they will be going live in Japan during this spring core. So, and just keep in mind, there are so many other shows going live. We listed 12, 15 titles. There are still so many more that are coming out in the spring season. It is really just kind of a buffet for anime fans, whether you're new or you're true to the fandom. You're about to eat good. That's all
I can say. We did miss a big one. Demon Slayer season 4, I think is a big one to touch upon.
We mentioned it briefly. I feel like because we've Nick has talked
so
about
much.
How he's not hopeful for it, but I mean that is a really big one.
Yeah, that's on me, Evan. That's my bias being confirmed, unfortunately. I'm sorry about that.
But yes, we all know Nick's feelings on it.
But yes. Force coming out, the Hashira training arc, it will be going live. So, I mean, there's just... Now, it is starting later in the spring season, as we've discussed. Mm-hmm. It is a smaller season order, so it's not coming out in April. It's coming out in May, right?
Yes, May... I was going to say May 4th, but no, it's like May 12th or something like that, too. Yeah, it's really... It's really late in the season, and it's not going to be like My Hero Academia where we get weeks of recap ahead of it. So it's... Right. We'll see how
it
goes.
If you want to recap Demon Slayer, it's on you to watch. Watch the season on Crunchyroll or, you know, Hulu or Netflix, wherever you go to watch your anime for Demon Slayer. It's up to you to recap it. They will not be recapping it for you. No. So we have a massive, massive spring season. Really quickly, though, I just want to ask the three of us. I know, Nick, you already kind of said this, but what is your number one show for the spring core to recommend?
Okay. Because,
I mean, so mine is going to absolutely... Oh, it's so hard, but I think I have to go with Kaiju number 8.
Surprising. I thought you were going to go with Black Butler.
See, I would, but I that's me being selfish. I think on the most general plane possible, Kaiju number 8 is the one to tune into. But if you are a Black Butler fan like myself, please watch it.
Yeah, no, I'm in the same boat of, like, I have my personal one, which is Konosuba Season 3, but then also just the one I would generally recommend to really keep an eye out for, it's Kaiju number 8. As in, you don't need any prior experience, you don't need any prior knowledge, you just jump in, and this is the brand new big blockbuster hit that we're getting.
And for mine, I would say, like, for stuff that you will be able to watch in North America, I would probably agree on Konosuba Season 3. I've been waiting for that one for a minute. But when it comes to the projects that are hitting Japan, I would 100% say Look Back. Look Back is a heart-wrenching, really emotional story from the creator of Chainsaw. It's very different from Chainsaw Man. I'll throw that right out.
It is so different.
Is very different, but it's still really like heartfelt. It's touching. MAPPA has said in the past that I can't remember. MAPPA isn't doing this one, right? For a Look Back, do you all?
Oh,
remember?
No, it's a different studio.
It's a different studio. Okay, because I remember that MAPPA said that they were committed to doing all of Tetsuki Fujimoto's works in the future.
Yeah, right now they're working on the Reze movie. So, you know,
they have their hands full. Let's not give them more work.
Please let those anime sleep. Let them see their families. But now I would say that's the thing I'm looking forward to the most. Look Back for sure. Whenever it comes to America, I hope it does get a theatrical release. I think North America is getting way better at releasing stuff in theaters because there's money to be made in terms of having anime hit the silver screen, if only through like a Fathom Events kind of thing where it hits theaters for maybe a night or two. But at the end of the day, like, I'll take it. I'll go in a night for a night or two to see Look Back for sure.
Yeah. Well, that is what we have for our spring season. Obviously, in a few months, we'll come back with our summer plugs because, you know, we got to talk about the Suicide Squad Isekai series that's coming out in July. This is what we got out for the spring. And I feel like we've talked about just about every major anime going on right now between our Anime Japan conversation and the spring 2024 season. But if you have any questions, anyone that is listening to us right now, any questions, if you need a recommendation, you can always, always hit one of us up on social media. You can find me at Megan Peters CB in most places to ask me questions. Where can they find you, Nick and Evan?
You can find me at Volvisology on all the socials. And if you also happen to be watching RuPaul's Drag Race, you can find me at Pop Culture Social Call.
I love that plug.
And you can go ahead and find me at EV Comedy. And please do reach out. All of us love talking about anime, and we love talking about it with you. So clearly. Yeah, totally. Feel free to ask questions or anything.
Yeah,
like
leave
that.
A comment on, you know, on your preferred social, you know, streams that you get your podcasts, whether you do it on Spotify, Apple, you know, wherever your podcast may be found. Leave us a comment. Hit us up on social media. We'd love to engage with you guys, talk about all things anime, especially as we're heading into such a stacked season of shows. And again, if you know you love anime, and obviously I'm so happy that you're listening to us here. Comic Nation has so many other shows to listen to. We have Quick Save, which is a gaming focused segment of Comic Book Nation. Of course, we have Comic Book Nation itself, where all geek things are discussed. And we even have The Pull List, which is specifically focused on comic book discussions. So we have a great little family of shows here that love to talk about all things geek, and we just happen to be your place for all things anime, manga, animation, all that good stuff. So again, leave us a comment, hit us up on Twitter, and thank you for listening so much. We will see y'all next week.